three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10.
Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2, Ruth Adelson and Hope Layton interviewing Lois Michaels, April 15, 1999. Lois, would you please tell us your address?
Yes, 618 Ellsworth Place, Pittsburgh 15232-1425.
Thank you. All right, now we're Pittsburgh. Go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Lois, could you tell us something about your early, immediate family when you were a kid at home? Your mother, your father, your siblings?
Right. I had a mother, a father, after the age of 9. And I lived with my grandparents until the age of 9. And my mother married then, and my father adopted my sister and me, and then I had a brother after that.
Tell us about what happened. I didn't hear what happened. Your father was gone when you were very small.
Right, my father died when my sister and I were very young, and we lived. My mother was a single parent. She said she was a single mother before it was fashionable, mm-hmm. And so we lived in my mother's parents' home, and that was a family of 9 children. My mother was the second oldest of a family of 9. And my sister and I then became the 10th and 11th kid. My mother's youngest sister was only 5 and a half years older than I was. And then when I was 9, my mother was married. And then we moved on.
Could you tell us, first of all, we'd like to have the name of your father and your mother.
My mother was Ruth Bryn Glazer. Mm-hmm. My father is Irving Bing. He goes by Bing because he sings blah, 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 you know, mm-hmm. Crosby.
How about your...
That's out of the picture.
Okay. So your father's name was Bing...
Glazer.
Glazer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And my maiden name is Glazer.
Okay. And where did you live when you lived with your grandparents?
We lived on Shady Avenue across from Alderdice High School. We lived in Forward Avenue first, across from Alderdice High School on the side. And then we lived in a big house on Shady Avenue. I remember the Pittsburgh flood in 1936 because we lived in Forward Avenue and there were no lights and we all had to use candles, so I can remember that. Mm-hmm. And then we lived in a big house on Shady Avenue. And we moved to, forget the address, the Whiteman and Hobart where the yeshiva is now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my grandparents were a very observant family. We were raised in a very traditional home. And then we moved to the Alderson Street Apartments.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were married, and we lived in a lot of houses. I think I lived in 17 different houses before I was married.
Did you really? Could you tell us a little more detail about living? I'm a friend of Shirley's, and we went to school together, and so I always have had.
Were you Hope Kalman?
Yes.
I remember you. Do you remember me from when we were little?
I don't remember you, no.
Well, I remember Hope Kalman.
But Shirley was my dear friend, and I hope still...
Well, Shirley is my baby aunt.
That's right. And so I'd like to hear something about, because that was a wonderful family.
It was absolutely the happiest place to be raised.
It was a wonderful family, and we'd like to have something about your grandma's family on tape.
Well, it was a... my grandmother's maiden name was Kalson, which is a well-known name in the city. Her father and mother.
What was your grandmother's grandparents' name?
My grandparents' name was Bryn, B-R-I-N-N.
Yeah, but their first names.
Jacob. Okay. Jacob Samuel. Shmuel Yunkel. And Hannah Reza, Anna Rose. And her maiden name was Kalson. So her father, I believe, and mother were also in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a Pittsburgher, so she was seen as a city girl, although she was born in Europe.
What was the last name again?
Her maiden name or the married?
Their last name.
Bryn, B-R-I-N-N.
Right.
And my grandfather was considered a country bumpkin. He came from Dubois. Pennsylvania.
Oh, well,
he had come from Europe, and in Europe he had also lived in a farm. And so he came, the story is that he knew somebody who knew someone who had this unmarried sister who was pretty and had a small waist and nice legs. That was the story. And so he came to Pittsburgh and courted her, and they were married, and then she moved to Du Bois. So all the Kalsen cousins and all the Pittsburgh people, all my grandmother's sisters and brothers and their families, they would go to the country to visit the Brin family. So it became an extended family. Then, I guess, in the 30s, my grandfather lost his business and then moved to Pittsburgh. I was born in 1931.
Mm-hmm.
So
birthday?
September 2nd.
Okay.
And so this family, my sister was very little and I was 3 years old, so we just became part of this extended family. It was the happiest family. I mean, every meal was a party. Everybody congregated there. All the cousins were there all the time. Everybody's friends were there all the time. It was just a very happy place, and really until the Second World War. And then I guess everybody came of age in the Second World War because my mother's youngest brother was killed. And that was really the first break in this extended family.
Mm-hmm. What did your grandfather do? What was his business?
Well, when he was in Du Bois, he bought and sold scrap iron and whatever he could buy and sell, farm animals. And he did very well. He was very, in fact, I often tell my older aunts and my mother that they were the children of a rich man, whereas my younger aunts and uncles were the children of depression because their father had lost the business, and when they moved to Pittsburgh, they certainly didn't do that well. And so what he started doing was peddling some goods, and there were a lot of potteries in western Pennsylvania, and he started buying china dishes, Fiesta ware, for example, mm-hmm. which is so popular now. Everybody in our family gave away their Fiesta ware 100 years ago because they hated it so much. And then he built a wholesale china and glassware business. They became importers, and that business was just sold recently when my mother's living brother retired.
How did you observe holidays in your, you know, how it was an Orthodox?
It was an Orthodox observant family, but there was no. I mean, it was Orthodox in the most liberal kind. Mm-hmm. And for example, every Sabbath was a Sabbath of peace, and people would come to our house, and we would have we thought they were great luxury parties in those days, but they were really raisins and nuts. That was a big treat for us to have raisins and nuts. And my job on Friday after school was to get home and to tear the toilet paper, because we didn't tear on the Sabbath, we didn't light fires on the Sabbath. I mean, it's hard for people to believe. And I guess Kleenex was pretty expensive, if they even had separate Kleenex boxes, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But certainly in my elementary school days, I would get home and stack double sheets of toilet paper, enough for a family of 13 and whatever guests would come. Friday night dinners, my grandfather came home. He would be on the road all week. When the boys got older, the brothers would go on the road with him. They had a great big truck, and they would go to the pottery, pick up barrels of dishes, and then travel to these little towns and sell them. And he would come home on Friday, and it was really, I mean, the lunch on Friday afternoon, you came home for lunch, and you always had a baked potato and a fresh holly roll. The holly was saved for Friday night dinners, but my bubby would make little rolls, so you always had the rolls for lunch with a baked potato. And the whole house would be permeated with this, you know, that wonderful smell of freshly baked bread. Shabbos dinners were always, you know, challah and soup and lakshon or knedels or whatever. So Sabbaths were always observed Friday night, Saturday. Interestingly enough, I have come to my grandfather, who I adored and who was absolutely wonderful, but I've come to be very resentful of him if he was around, because I was the oldest grandchild. I was the firstborn of these, you know, this family of nine. And had I been a boy, I wouldn't have walked them to shul on Shabbos. They went to the Chofetz Chaim congregation, which is in Beacon and Murray at that time, and Rabbi Ashinsky was the rabbi. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather was very active in the congregation. He was, I guess, the president or whatever, you know, in those days, whatever they were. and held a responsible position. And I used to walk them to shul on Shabbos, but I didn't go. And I was sent to Hebrew school, but I didn't like it because the teacher used to yell, so I didn't have to go. Had I been a boy, I wouldn't have had those choices. I would have been obligated because I would have had to be bar mitzvah, but they didn't do bar mitzvahs then. And and so I really had a very limited formal Jewish education. So I said, now, Zadie, you and I are going to have a discussion about this someday.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
But the Purim was, Purim was Teglach, and every holiday was a celebration, mostly centered around the home and the family, the aunts and uncles, the cousins, all come around.
I just know it was a wonderful, wonderful family. Then when you were 9, your mother married, and you moved out of your grandma and grandpa's
house. That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Right. And you went to Alderson Street?
Right.
Is that where you went? Mm-hmm. And can you tell us something about that time?
Well, they were apartments in Alderson Street, and they had a court, and all the kids could roller skate. I couldn't roller skate. I was a sickly kid, actually. I always had colds and fevers and I don't know what all.
Tonsils.
And yes, and I guess I had scarlet fever. And anyway, the kids could all roller skate, but I couldn't roller skate. I was afraid of roller skate. I think you probably one of the stories that I don't know, that's probably. Before my mother and father were married, when they were in the courting stage, all the family was whitewashing the cellar in the big house. And I had gone to a movie with my two younger aunts, and it was on Saturday. I had never been to a movie on the Sabbath before, and I was sure that I was going to be punished or some terrible thing would happen. The movie was The Man in the Iron Mask, the original Man in the Iron Mask, and this man in this iron mask who was kept chasing me, and I couldn't sleep that whole night because I had gone to a movie on Sabbath. I mean, it was a strict family, but it was a very
well. What about the aunts? Were they
they were willing to take the risk. I really
see. This was a risk. Risk.
Oh yeah, they.
Oh,
I
didn't understand.
But they took me with them.
Okay.
They didn't have nightmares, though. I asked my aunt afterwards. She said they didn't do it very often either, but I guess this was the time we did it. Anyway, so I was kind of a sissy kid, and so I didn't know how to roller skate. Okay. I didn't learn to roller skate. That's what I remember about Alderson Street.
Where did you go to school?
We went to Colfax, and then I went to Alderdice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Hedwig Pregler was the principal of Colfax, who I think is, she's been an important person in a lot of young people's lives. She started the gifted program at Colfax.
She's remarkable.
And had done a great deal of things. I think another thing, when I was at Colfax, there are people who I know in my adult life who were refugees from Germany during those years, because I was at Colfax from 1936 to 1943, I guess, or 42 or whatever. They came to school. Our family had no relatives in Germany. Or in Europe, actually.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather had one brother who had lived in Russia, in a portion of Russia that was occupied then at that time by, I think, some Poland. I don't know. That was back and forth. That brother had kept the family farm in Europe, and that brother's home had been attacked by bandits. And his wife, his sister, his daughters, and the baby sons had all been killed.
Oh.
So that brother and the remaining sons who had been in the field and one daughter who had been away moved to the United States. And so my grandfather had no family in Europe, and my grandmother. So we weren't really impacted at all by what was happening in Nazi Germany.
Right.
And so when these kids came to school, I think that's kind of interesting, that I wasn't, as adults, I talked to some of these people and they said, "Well, Lois, you knew I was a German refugee." And I said, "I didn't know you were German." I mean, it's so that's why I think they were kids in school, and we were friends, and the notion of there being refugees or anything was really of no importance.
Didn't even think about it.
No, I think that's kind of
that's interesting.
Young kids don't carry an accent.
Exactly.
So they blended in. It's only when you see the parents that you would say, "Hmm."
I was in high school with your Aunt Shirley, and they were coming in, and I know every one because they had accents when they were learning English, and I know to this day, and think of them in that way, still.
As immigrants.
As Jewish refugees, or German refugees from Germany. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a different one, I guess, when you're older.
But in those days, they were just kids, and then afterwards, and things that are defining moments to you as either a child or even as an adult to the people around you may be entirely different.
That's right, of course. How did you spend, how did your family spend leisure time?
How did we spend leisure time? Well, the older people played cards, we went on picnics, we cooked together, we went to Atlantic City.
Did you go to
in the summers? We took vacations. We piled in the car. Went to Atlantic City. We went on the Pennsylvania Turnpike the first year it opened. That was big excitement. I remember we stopped at an Eden Park. It had just opened. You know, it was a drive-in that was very new. No, it was Eden Park.
Was it Eden Park? Yeah. Were they the first?
They were the first drive-in.
Oh, darn. Mm-hmm.
It was on the Turnpike, and it only went from Pittsburgh to Harrisburg.
Oh.
Those were the kinds of things we did. We played Monopoly. Mm-hmm. We listened to opera. Mm-hmm. I listened to Saturday afternoons. We did play the radio. I wonder how we got away with that. Now that I think of it, at my grandmother's house, maybe when I listened to operas on Saturday afternoons, I was in my own house. Mm-hmm. I wasn't at my grandparents', mm-hmm. but we did listen to Metropolitan Opera on Saturday afternoons and. And we had parties at home. We did a lot of mm-hmm. parties. Every time you get together, it was a party.
That sounds wonderful.
It was wonderful. It was a very.
And so when you moved in to an apartment with your parents, you still kept a very close ties with your grandparents' home.
Oh yes, and then of course I had my father's mother and father, and that was my Bobby and Sadie Glazer. They were also European born, and my father had a niece, who was exactly my age. Except she was real pretty and real popular, and she'd come from Whiteman School, and I'd come from Colfax School, and the Whiteman School kids were a little more sophisticated than the Colfax School kids. We even knew those distinctions in those days. And
there is something to that. I came from Colfax. I was a Whiteman School kid. I was the most naive, unsophisticated.
Again, kids' perceptions are
that's
not...
Right. It's not that's true. Mm-hmm. Maybe Whiteman kids were a little more affluent.
Well, they were, yeah, but we didn't know that. You know, we
well,
just thought
no,
they were more.
Thinking back, well, there was a difference.
Mm-hmm.
There was, but let's go on.
I never see that's something I never perceived.
So, cousin
well,
Barbara
I'm,
was
I'm,
my
I'm
age.
I'm younger. I'm the next generation, and I'm saying that yes, I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I saw it too.
So we spent a lot of time with my Bobby and Sadie Glazer because my cousin Barbara's mother was a single woman as well. And when she remarried during Barbara's early teens, Barbara chose to live with her grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would stay there over, like on Friday or Saturday nights, if my parents went out, we would have sleepovers there. So that became, then again, another part
That's
of the extended family.
Your extended family's extended.
Mm-hmm. So that was... Mm-hmm. So that became another way of spending leisure and that sort of thing.
So if I have it right, then you grew up in an observant family in which there was a lot of joy, and you didn't let a holiday go by. You celebrated all the holidays.
That is correct.
Is that right?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And the fast days, too. It wasn't just Yom Kippur that you fasted. There were other fast days.
More than Yom Kippur,
mm-hmm.
I know.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you did that?
Oh, yes.
All
mm-hmm.
of it, so that, you know.
And we kept it. And I used to think of all the holidays that I thought of. I thought my grandmother hated Pesach until I became a married woman and changed my dishes. And you know, when I was first married, I did keep kosher. I have since moved away from that. She really didn't hate Pesach. She was grouchy, and she once slapped me. It's the only time I ever remember being physically touched by any adult. She slapped me because I had put a milchika, a dairy towel, on a chair, and that chair it was fleishig. It was chametz. It was not scoured and properly prepared for Passover. So you didn't put anything that you used for Passover dishes on a chair. I mean, and she slapped me, and I thought I had, you know, committed a terrible thing, done a terrible thing, mm-hmm. and which I had for her, but I realized she was exhausted. It's an exhausting holiday.
Terrible.
And right. Although she always had household help, she had a woman named we called her Mrs. Kennedy, who did the laundry, and another woman who came and helped with the cleaning. Mm-hmm. Still, just...
getting a dinner out every day.
Right, all the time, which is why I probably can entertain for 15 or 20 people and not bat an eyelash. Do you want to turn that off for a second? Where were we? We're back to the Kennedy. So Mrs. Okay. Kennedy, the woman who did the cleaning was a white woman, but Mrs. Kennedy was a black woman. And I remember, and the Kelson family owned the bathhouse mm-hmm. In the hill. And I remember driving with my uncle to the bathhouse to pick up my grandmother, and I saw all these little children, and they were black children, and I said, oh, look at all the Kennedys, all the little Kennedys.
Oh, okay.
So that became a family joke. But again, how children just don't have the same kind of perceptions that grown-ups have. I didn't know they were black. I just knew they looked like Mrs. Kennedy.
They were of the
and
same
they were all, they were little
family.
Kennedys.
Mm-hmm. Did you attend any kind of Sunday school? Did you have any formal... Jewish education?
Well, at first I went to Cheder at the Chofetz Chaim school,
right.
Shul, and I didn't like that, so they let me quit. And then we went to Beth Sholem Shul, okay. And we went to Sunday school at Beth Sholem Shul, and I didn't like that. So that was when they had started the Hebrew Institute, and there was somebody who was teaching there who was a Westinghouse scientist. His name was Jack Goldman, and somehow and my family knew him or something, and he thought that I would like the Hebrew Institute.
Mm-hmm.
It was not... synagogue affiliated at mm-hmm. that time, and it was in an old house up on Shady Avenue, and so I went to the Hebrew Institute, and I was we graduated from the Hebrew Institute.
Than most kids whose family belonged to synagogues, and
mm-hmm.
were confirmed in a synagogue.
Right.
You had a graduation.
Right. Now, my sister, they stayed, my family did belong to Beth Shalom I'm sure, mm-hmm. then. My parents did. My grandparents still stayed with Chofetz Chaim. And then when Rabbi Pupko came to Pittsburgh and moved the Sheratoa Shul to Squirrel Hill, my grandparents affiliated with the mm-hmm. Sheratoa Shul, and Rabbi Pupko became a very dear friend of the family mm-hmm. and is to this very day.
That's very nice.
I'll tell you a funny story about Rabbi Pupko. And my mother, Shiva, we observed the Shiva in an Orthodox fashion rather than Reform out of respect to my aunts and uncles and my grandparents, although my mother was not that interested in Orthodoxy or in ritual. But I told Rabbi Pufka, he said, Lois, anything I can do for you? And he'd known me since I was tiny, because when we lived at my grandmother's house, he ate there, and I used to, on weekdays, come and set the table for the rabbi, because he had to eat before before mincha services, and sometimes it would be before the family would be eating. So he'd known me all these years, and he said, anything you want, Lois. And I said, well, I said, you know that I don't adhere to all of the tenets of Orthodoxy, and I would like, Rabbi, for women to count at the minyan. He said, Lois, my darling, in Judaism, women count for everything, but not for a minion. he said, not in my lifetime. Which is, you know, Rabbi Pupko is I hope you've interviewed him, but that he's in the oral history. He is a very liberal and very broad-minded person, and he holds anyone who has religious beliefs in high regard. And he's a very special friend of the family. Anyway, why did we get on that?
And well, we were talking about whether you went to Sunday school.
Right. So my sister did go to Beth Shalom Shul, and she was confirmed, but I was a little bit in the more rebellious, I suppose, and I took umbrage with what went on at Rosh Hashanah.
They were pretty understanding of you, I would think, to let you make these moves.
My parents?
Uh-huh. I think that's pretty...
They were wonderful.
I think that's very open and very...
Yeah.
Considerate of a kid to let you make that move.
I think you're right.
Institute. I think that's impressive. It really is. How about your brother? Was he was bar mitzvahed himself?
Oh, yes. My brother was bar mitzvahed, but he was bar mitzvahed at Sheratoa Shul. By that time, mm-hmm. all the other cousins were being bar mitzvahed, and they would have been at Sheratoa Shul.
And what's his name?
David. David Glazer.
And your sister?
Is Marcia, M-A-R-C-I-A, Marcia Arnold Netzer. She goes, she's married twice, and she goes by both names. It's her children's names, Arnold.
What do you remember about school? First, what is a key memory, say, of Colfax School?
Well, my birthday, September 2nd, and school started on the first Tuesday after the first Monday, and the first Tuesday of 1936 was on September 2nd, so my idea of school was it was the best birthday present a kid could have. I liked school. I was a good student, and I always liked school.
You did. And you liked being at Colfax.
I liked being at Colfax. I liked being at Alderdice. I liked being at PCW. I liked being at the graduate school.
That's terrific.
Studying.
How about Alderdice? That could be a tough road to hoe. How was that for you?
Well, for me, Alderdice, it was a little bit of a tough... you had to find your place at Alderdice, and I wasn't like a sorority person at Alderdice. Mm-hmm. And what I didn't realize until I went back to my 25th Alderdice reunion, and one of my closest friends at Colfax School was a woman named Patty Miller, whose father taught at Alderdice.
Is that right?
Do you remember Mr. Miller?
Oh, he was my homeroom teacher.
He once threw an eraser at Aunt Shirley.
I beg your pardon?
He once threw an eraser at Aunt Shirley.
Did he really? He was my homeroom teacher, Thomas Miller.
Right. Well, Patty Miller was his daughter and my closest friend at closest friends at Colfax. At our 25th reunion, Patty said, "You know, Lois, I forgive you for not being friends after we went to Alderdice. I didn't know we weren't friends at Alderdice." But she said, "No, as soon as you got to Alderdice, you start going with all the Jewish kids."
Okay.
And Patty was not of Jewish faith. But I went to her house for Christmas, and she came to my house at holidays. I remember she ate tagliatelle, you know, because that tagliatelle was something nobody else ate. And I didn't know that I had...
Done that.
Mm-hmm. 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 But in her mind, I had. Mm-hmm. So I guess I was finding my own way, and then mm-hmm. I had to compete with Barbara, who was my cousin, who was so popular, and
what
she couldn't know how
Barbara
to dance.
What?
Krause, K-R-A-U-S-E. She's since passed away. She married a Pittsburgher, Kenny Lenchner, the Lenchners who have the furniture store. It was a big Today's Home.
Sig Lenchner?
Sig.
Was he a brother?
A brother of Kenny.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. They moved to Detroit.
Uh-huh.
And so Barbara was very popular, and she could dance, and she could sing, and I was not very popular. I didn't think I was very popular. But
it was a different...
But I was good academically. I enjoyed school.
Uh-huh.
And I was always active. You know, I was always a big joiner.
What did you do? What were some of your activities?
Well, we had Future Teachers of America. We had the class, my senior year, of course, the class play. I was the chairman. In those days, the high school had the federation. UJF had a high school chairman. I was the chairman of UJF for the high schools of the city. First of all, I was chairman of Alderdice, and then I guess when I got to be a junior or senior, I became chairman of the city of UJF. They had a community chest, a Red Feather. I was chairman of that. I was just always doing things. Alderdice, I don't know if you know Alderdice, but they had something called the Cut. It went from the corner of Forward and Shady up to the old entrance to the gym, and the kids used to cut across that, and they wore out the grass there.
Mm-hmm.
I organized a grass planting.
Did you?
Yes, we planted grass, and for a whole year there was grass there, and nobody used the cut. We put up fence and signs and everything, but about three years later, I don't know, after I was out, it was gone. Uh-huh. So now it's cemented. It's actually a cement walk there now. Did you go to Alderdice too then? Do you remember the cut? If you didn't come from that end of Shady, you wouldn't have remembered. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was always organizing things and doing things and
so
having
you,
a good
you
time.
You were into things, and you had friends.
I had lots of friends.
That's
good.
So you never felt out of things. You were just in your things.
I was in my things, and certainly we had dates and we had parties. I had a very adorable little sister. So I remember in seventh grade, I had a Halloween party, and Marcia was the one who was getting all the kisses. We played spin the bottle, but she's the one that all the guys wanted to kiss because she was so cute, and it was safe then too. I must have been in seventh or eighth grade. I don't know.
Okay.
No, with my high school years were happy years.
That's good. And from there, you went to?
PCW, Pennsylvania College for Women, which is now Chatham College.
And tell us what you studied and what it was like to be there, a women's college.
Well, I thought I was going to be an elementary school teacher because I always wanted to make changes and improve things, and I thought the best way to improve things was to be, you know, teach kids, mm-hmm. young kids. And so I thought I was going to be an elementary school teacher, but I did change to majoring in history and political science, and but I did get certified to teach, so I did teach high school. Chatham was a very interesting experience because, well, like my grandparents' home, I mean, we thought everybody was Jewish. When I went to Colfax, I had a teacher named Miss Cooper, and we used to read the Bible. And I told my parents that I had a Jewish teacher because she read the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I guess somehow or other she explained that, no, she was Christian. I thought if you weren't Jewish, you were Christian. I didn't know that you could be Catholic Christian and Protestant Christian.
Okay. Christian.
Right, if you weren't Jewish, you were Christian. So I'm running my train of thought here.
Well, you were talking about Chatham being an interesting experience.
Right, so, and so like in my grandparents' home, the people that we saw that weren't Jewish were like the policeman always came for schnapps on Shabbos. He knew he would come for a schnapps. And then the people that helped. And so I didn't really know a lot of not Jewish people. And I guess when I was in Alderdice, it was clear from what Patty Miller told me that I gravitated to Jewish people. And the joke in our family used to be if you married a Reformed Jew, intermarriage in the Brin family was if you married a Reformed Jew. And